Must be a holiday weekend, huh? Have you ever asked God for a sign? I know I have. Asked Him to show me the way, asked me to help me make a decision. Man has always asked God for signs, and God has frequently answered his requests. We see it all over the Old Testament. For example, the Lord gave the Israelites manna in the desert, not only to feed them, but also as a sign of Moses' authority over them. That he would go to God and ask for the bread, and God would answer Moses' prayer. In today's reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, Jesus gave his apostles a sign of his power and authority as well. A sign that would affect them and all generations of the church, as it became an essential part of our understanding of the even greater sign and mystery of the Most Holy Eucharist, his most holy body and blood. Let's look more closely at today's gospel reading. The 12 apostles came to Jesus asking him what he was going to do about feeding the huge crowd that had followed them. Christ's immediate response to them is to ask the apostles why they don't feed the people themselves. And the apostles respond, "We have nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They know that they are unable to feed the people by themselves. And so the Lord Jesus takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish, takes the loaves, blesses it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples to give to the crowd, and feeds 5,000 men, it says, which implies 5,000 men and their families. He gave them a sign that he alone had the power to do what no mere man could do. Give his people everything they need, especially food in abundance. And yet the very next day, after this tremendous sign of feeding the 5,000, some of these very same people still wanted yet another sign. According to St. John's account of this miracle, they came to Jesus and asked, they said, quote, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? Moses gave us manna in the desert. What sign can you do?" As if feeding 5,000 people from 5 loaves was not enough. So then how did Jesus respond to them? He promised that he would give them a sign, an even greater sign, a sign like no other before or since. He said, "The bread that I will give is my flesh. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. I am the living bread come down from heaven," he said. A few months later, at table with the 12, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus repeated the very same actions that he did when he fed the 5,000. St. Luke tells us in his gospel uses the same words. Once again, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the 12. But this time, at the Last Supper, Jesus added the words, "This is my body." The apostles, taking all the things that Jesus said before about this, understood that this was the new sign that the Lord had promised. The bread, which was his flesh, his body. Even so, they probably didn't understand how this could be what he said it was, his body and blood. After all, it still looked like and tasted like ordinary bread and wine. But they remembered the power that he had displayed in the sign of the multiplication of loaves, a sign that Jesus had given them to convince them that what was completely impossible and beyond the grasp of mere human beings was in no way impossible or unreasonable for Jesus, because he had the power of God himself. And not only that, not only did he have the power, what it was in his plan that he had already revealed. And so the apostles believed in his power and in his words. And that what appeared to be just a few pieces of bread were now, in fact, the actual physical body of Jesus. This sign remains with us today. Of course, it's not the same kind of fantastic sign that appeals to people who are looking for wonderful worldly phenomena, like the multiplication of loaves to feed 5,000. But for those who believe that Jesus is God the Son and has the power to feed the 5,000 with just 5 loaves and 2 fish, and the power to die on the cross and rise from the dead to new life, if we believe that, what sign do we need? In the context, in this context of our faith in Jesus, we believe the Eucharist is the living sign of his true presence and power and love. But no mere sign. It doesn't merely represent something that it's not. Look up at that crucifix there. That is a mere sign of Jesus, a mere symbol of his presence with us today. It looks like Jesus, and that's what happened to Jesus. But that is not Jesus. It's a mere symbol of Jesus. Beautiful symbol, but a mere sign of what he did and his presence here today. On the other hand, think about this. If Jesus walked into the room right now and stood right here in his fleshy body and showed us his hands with the nails, nail marks, that would be a sign to us that he is present. His body is a sign to us of his presence. And it wouldn't be an empty sign, an empty symbol, but a physical expression of his real and complete presence in both body and spirit. And that's how it works with the Eucharist. It is a sign, but no mere sign or empty symbol, but a sign of Jesus' actual, real, total, complete presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity. A sign that he loves us and personally comes to us and enters into us and makes us really and totally one with him. Amazing. But this is what we believe. Man has been asking God for signs for ages. And God has been responding. But the thing is, God also has been asking man for signs in response to him. Signs of his faith, signs of his love, and signs of worship. For example, in the days of Moses and Aaron, God gave his people great signs of his power, like the Passover of the angel of death, and then the parting of the Red Sea, and then the manna in the desert. But at the same time, he also demanded that his people respond with signs of their own, signs of worship and obedience to his law. Today, Jesus gives us the sign of the Eucharist. But what sign of worship do we give him in response? What sign of faith do we show him? Begin with the simplest of signs. As we approach our Lord in Holy Communion, do our postures, is our attitude, our clothing, are they signs of our faith in Jesus? 2 weeks ago, we had the second graders here in receiving First Holy Communion. It's beautiful. They look so angelic, and the girls in their white dresses, the boys in their coats and ties, coming up, kneeling down to receive. It's beautiful. It was a great sign of their faith in Jesus present in the Eucharist. What sign do we give of our faith, or of our laxity of faith? When we come to receive Holy Communion dressed like we're going not to see and receive and be in communion with the Creator of the universe, but like we're going to the beach or to a ball game or maybe even to a bar. Imagine if I dressed down coming to Mass rather than dressing up in these special vestments. What would that signify about my belief in Jesus? How does the way you dress at Mass signify your belief in Jesus in the Eucharist? And parents, what sign are we giving to our children? And what sign are we teaching them to send? Some might say, but Father, God doesn't care how we dress. People come up after I give these kind of homilies and they tell me that. The thing is, there's this little parable in the gospel that Jesus gives. You may remember it. The parable of the wedding feast. And Jesus tells us, he says, but when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. My friends, we are gathered here at the wedding feast of the Lamb. Even if God is so merciful that he forgives us when we dress inappropriately, we should never be so presumptuous of his mercy. Because what we wear is a sign of our faith and love in him. Now, I don't want anybody looking around at other people today, okay? That's not what this is about. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I know sometimes you come dressed down a bit because it's either that or you miss Mass. For example, sometimes someone may have just driven in from the beach or from a soccer tournament and you came straight to Mass. And it was either that or no Mass. And we have visitors here who come on Sundays, every Sunday, and they're just happy to find a Mass to go to. Maybe they didn't pack, you know, a suit and tie. I understand. And I'm glad you make it to Mass. And I understand that right now it's, you know, last week it was 60 degrees and then now all of a sudden it's 90 degrees. And we're not used to the heat. And so we dress a little cooler. I understand that. But those should be exceptions. And exceptions are fine if they're reasonable. But they should not be the rule. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone or condemn anyone. So let's just make a deal. Let's all agree that if we see someone at Mass dressed in less than their Sunday best, let's always assume that they have a very good reason for doing that. Period. But let's also start to hold ourselves to a higher standard when we can. Also, look at the way we sometimes receive Holy Communion. Sometimes I see people wander up, looking around, seeing who we recognize in the crowd. Let's stop that and recognize that at the front of the line is Jesus Christ. And when you arrive at the head of the line, show that you recognize that Jesus is there by doing what the book of Revelation tells us over and over again happens with the angels and saints in heaven. What they do whenever they enter into the presence of the Lamb of God. You can look it up. Every time the angels and saints see Jesus, it says they fell on their faces and worshiped. Now, I don't want you coming up here and falling on your face. But do you show some physical, real physical sign of adoration as you come face to face with your Lord and God? Whether it's a bow of the head, or a bow at the waist, a deep bow, or whether it's a genuflection on one knee or even kneeling down on both knees, give some sign to me, to the people around you, to yourself, and most importantly, to him, a sign that you believe and that you worship him. In the same way that it's important that you receive him bodily in your body, it's important that your body show what you believe. And then we receive our Lord in a way that shows signals a reverence. Sometimes people come up and they sort of nonchalantly put their hand out as if to signify, give me it, hurry up, I'm in a hurry, give it to me, let's get this over with. Sometimes they actually reach out and try to grab it out of my hand like, you know, I'm too slow or something. That's a great way to drop the host. How about instead? And I'm not picking on anybody. We get in bad habits, all right? I know this. We don't mean anything wrong. Maybe we learned this when we were little or we pick up bad habits. I don't care. I'm not picking on you. But how about instead you come up and if you choose to receive in the hand, make a throne for Christ with your left hand flat, flat like this, not like this, because it falls off, or not with your fingers open, but flat like that, to receive him like a plate, and then put your other hand underneath like a throne, as St. John Chrysostom told us. And then keeping your eyes on Jesus, as you reverently receive the host, and then take the host in your right hand and consume it, very reverently. Or perhaps you may choose to follow the ancient custom of receiving on the tongue as a sign that you understand that this is no ordinary food, and so you don't receive it in an ordinary way. That, by the way, is the way I receive Holy Communion when I'm not the priest at Mass. It's not very often that happens, but when I'm serving Mass or when I'm acting as an MC, I receive on the tongue. Because you see, the thing is, we have a strong tendency to take for granted the things that we hold in our hands every day. For example, a jeweler might be easily tended to miss the beauty of the diamonds that they hold in their hands every day, because it's just another rock that they have to chop up. And the same can happen to priests who hold the Blessed Sacrament so often in our hands. We can take it for granted. We could forget. We know intellectually, but in our hearts, it's easy to take it for granted. And the same for you. If you receive the Lord in your hands every week. And so I fight that tendency personally when I can by receiving on the tongue. And also, by the way, by kneeling down. But even if you don't receive on the tongue, or even if you do receive on the tongue, so still it can be done disrespectfully that way too. Don't come up and don't bite it out of my hand. And worse yet, don't lick it out of my hand. Come up close enough so that I can easily reach you. I have very short arms. I have a bad shoulder too, so I have a hard time standing out, okay? So come up close enough to the priest, wherever he is. Open your mouth. Place your tongue on your lower lip. And then don't move. That's what my arm's for. Okay? I see your mouth. You stand still. If you move, you're a moving target. I'm not trying to joke here, but seriously, it's difficult, and that's when I drop the host. So stand still. Look at me. Or look at the host, and let me place it carefully on your tongue. Now, these are some important signs of our response to God's sign of the Eucharist at Mass. But he asks for another sign, and that sign simply is, first of all, the hour that you come to Mass on Sunday, every Sunday. But more than that, another sign still is, after you receive him in the Eucharist, do our lives become signs of his love for us and our love for him as we go out into the world? Do we live as if we really believe that we just received Jesus Christ? And on the flip side of that, when we come to receive Holy Communion, is our reception of the Eucharist a sign that we have done, that everything we've done all week long before we've come here has been truly consistent with our faith in him and all of his teaching? And is our reception of communion a sign of faith not only in the Eucharist handed down to us by the apostles, but also faith in everything his apostles have handed down to us through their successors, especially the popes, from the authoritative teachings on the sacraments to the authoritative teachings on morality? Is our reception of Holy Communion a sign, a statement that we are in full communion with the teachings of Christ and his vicar on earth, the Pope? And does our rejection of that teaching in our daily lives signal a mockery of the Eucharist that we receive? There is nothing wrong with asking God for signs. And so we shouldn't be surprised when he gives us signs. Don't be surprised also when he asks you for signs in return. God has given us the Eucharist as the most sublime sign of his love and power. It is not a mere empty sign, but truly his very own body, blood, soul, and divinity, truly, really present. How do we respond to that sign? What sign do we give? Do we respond with empty symbols and gestures and words, or with signs full of love and faith and heartfelt worship? Praise be Jesus Christ in the most blessed sacrament of the altar, now and forever. Amen.